Loudon Wainwright III is now into his fourth decade of touring and recording, and many of you will remember his 1970s hit, Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. Younger listeners will know him as the father of Rufus Wainwright, and now another of his musical progeny has released her first record called Eight Songs. Lucy Wainwright Roach and Loudon Wainwright are performing together at Joe's Pub on Sunday, December 16th, and I'm very pleased to welcome them both to the show today. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Lucy, your mother, Susie Roach, is also a singer. Did you all sing together at home when you were growing up?
Well, they were always singing around me, but I refused to sing for many years. At family gatherings, everyone would sing, and I would refuse to.
Because it was the family business, and you just didn't want to get drawn into it?
I really didn't want to. I don't know why exactly. But I was resentful of the fact that I was supposed to. So I guess I was rebelling a little bit.
And Loudon, I'm sure you assumed that she could sing. I mean, it's in the genes.
I suppose. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of music going on, but she did resist it and finished college, which none of the other kids did. I mean, I didn't even finish college and got a degree in teaching and
began teaching.
Yeah,
got my master's. I was really rebelling.
But since you decided to start performing, have you performed together in public?
We've done it a lot, actually, in the last year or so. Lucy's only been out there for a year, but we did a tour in this last spring of the UK. We did 17 shows in England and Ireland, and we've done a bunch of shows in the States, and we're having a great time doing shows together.
Isn't this Sunday your birthday, Lucy?
It is indeed. It's my 26th birthday.
So what should people expect at Joe's Pub? Is this going to be a concert or more of a party?
Well, it's all of my birthday parties sort of morphed into concerts my whole life. So I figured we might as well do it at a real concert venue this time. So it's going to be songs and stories and maybe cake.
And mostly yours, or are you going to
be playing
Loudon
with my band.
Lucy?
I'm going to be playing with my band, and then Dad is going to be a guest. He'll come up and do a couple songs. My Aunt Sloan is going to come up and do something, and a couple of my other friends are going to do something. So it's going to be sort of the people who would normally be at the party are just going to get up on stage.
It's Beethoven's birthday too.
Yes,
he won't be there, but
and Martha Plimpton, I understand, will also drop by.
We're going to do a duet, she and I,
from Cymbeline, I'm sure.
Perhaps.
When did you become aware of Lucy's musical talent, and whose idea was it for you to tour together?
Let me think. Well. You know, Lucy did go to guitar camp as a teenager, this place out in Connecticut, and had a couple of summers there. So I knew she could play, but she started singing at the parties, the family parties, a few years ago, and then it's been a kind of rapid transformation. I mean, she's, she made her CD, and we all were knocked out by that, and then she seems to have some. I hate to talk about you in the third person. You seem to have some real chops in terms of her performing persona.
She's also writing.
Yeah, she's writing songs, and they're getting stronger. And
I assume that folk music was a major influence on your writing style.
I think so. Yes, and I'm a big fan of traditional music also. So that's all been in there. Ground up and spit out as some version of myself, I guess.
And like your father's work, the tracks on the CD are vocals accompanied by guitar, nothing more.
Right.
Did you ever consider going for something different?
You know, this CD is sort of like an EP, you know, shorter than a full-length CD. And
it would have been a 45 in the old days.
Right, there you go. It's kind of a sample, in a way, of what I was doing, something to have at the shows, like a party favor, which it will really be on Sunday. And I think in the future I'd love to make a more of a formal CD that's produced more.
With a band of the sort that you have.
Yes.
Well, you're not here with the band, but you are here, the two of you, and you both have guitars. What are you planning to sing for us?
Well, we're going to sing an old song of mine. you mentioned Dead Skunk. This song is a song of mine that I wrote in 19, 71, probably. And it was the B-side, the flip side of the Dead Skunk single. I still perform this song. We perform this song, and I hardly ever do Dead Skunk, so I think it might be a
Did
better.
Dead Skunk just get old?
Well, it paid for a lot of stuff for a few years, and it was an exciting thing to have a song on the radio. But I had to sing it so many times, and I got so tired of it that occasionally I do Dead Skunk, but it has to be after 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, today, because there aren't B-sides, we no longer have that incredible sense of discovery when we flip the record over and would say, oh, gee, no, this song is really interesting, and it's not getting any of the airplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what is it?
It's called Needless to Say. And I'll play it. We'll play it for you now. Needless to say, say it anyway. In any way that you need to, you know nothing at all. Nothing is all, and there's nothing to know, so accept you.
Please remember my song. Please remember my song. Make no mistake, take what you make it, so take it, it's for you. Nevertheless, the less that you guess, so never a guessing you've got to. Please remember.
Welcoming change, changes arrange your arrangement. Well, they're supposed to.
Believe it or not, notwithstanding your lot, the lot that you've got stands for you. Please remember my song.
Loudon Wainwright III and Lucy Wainwright Roach, a song that Loudon wrote in the early 70s. It's called Needless to Say.
Yeah.
Although it also could be called Please Remember My Song,
which
is what every songwriter would hope for. And I seeing the two of you together, obviously there's that comfort of two people who know each other well. But I assume that, Lucy, that having your father on the stage with you sometimes is a comforting experience, isn't it? Because I mean, he's been around for a while.
It is. Both my parents have offered a lot of really good advice and have been incredibly supportive. And I also have moments where I know they're watching and I can't stop thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
I have those moments as well, although they've all been very... very helpful, not a hindrance, but I do have my moments where I think, gosh, I'm surrounded by my parents.
Well, you know, that's a positive and a negative.
Exactly.
You gave up teaching?
I gave up teaching for now. I taught second and third grade for a few years. And
did you ever pull out a guitar and say, hey, we're going to sing some songs
in
the middle of a class?
I did. Actually, almost not until my very last few days of school. I did it at the very end of my teaching, and... I was very afraid of singing in front of the kids. They're a rough audience, but they did love it in the end, but I was still pretty shy. I think I'd be better at it now that I've done a bunch of shows myself.
But. Now that you've performed before huge crowds.
Yes.
Loudon, have never been a megastar, but you've always had a very loyal following. Had you expected to be as big as someone like Bob Dylan when you started out? I know that's an... kind of almost an indiscreet question.
Well,
but I think everybody starts off thinking.
Yeah,
you know,
I think everybody
and
does.
And I'm good.
And yeah, you. And certainly he was the, I mean, he's about 5 years older than I am, but he was such a massive influence on anybody playing acoustic guitars and singing and writing songs that, you know, we all hoped or thought we might knock Bob out of the box, but...
Or at least be side by side.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Muhammad Ali, as it were, of he's Bob Dylan. But I hoped to, I've had a pretty interesting ride here, and it's still fun.
And great success in Europe, especially in the UK. Why do you think that is? Because the music has...
They're so darn smart over there.
Oh,
they just
it?
Know a good
and
thing
they listen
when
to
they
the
hear
lyrics.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Because lyrics are really important.
Yeah, I also lived in London for 12 years, and you know, the audience have stayed with me, I suppose.
This is probably the family that's churned out more performers than any other in the music business right now. I can't think of any other than have so many performers in the extended family.
Yeah, you mentioned, we mentioned Rufus, of course, and Rufus's sister Martha is just recorded her second album,
and Susie and the Roaches.
Right, the Roaches, the Rufus's mom, the McGarrigles, and Lucy's first cousin, Sam McTavey, Wainwright, whatever the heck his name is.
It's like a rampant infection.
A virus just hit this whole group.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's something you fought, you say, but eventually you gave in, and you look like you're kind of happy.
I'm having a great time. I really am.
Now, did you live in London because you had a better career there, or just because you connected in some other ways?
Well, my parents lived in London for a while when I was a kid, and I've always liked that town, and I had a pretty good following over there, and it was a good time to buy a flat. You know, the dollar and the pound were at parity or whatever it was.
In those days.
So, I mean, I travel all the time anyway, so where I have my apartment or my flat doesn't really matter, and I was traveling all the time, but I did have a place there.
Well, the English do have a different kind of appreciation of American music. Years ago, I worked for a record company that produced a lot of records by Americans who become famous in England, like Slim Whitman, Boxcar Willie, mm-hmm. Roger Whittaker. They really can be quite loyal to American performers in a way that sometimes Americans aren't always. We have somebody, we chew them up, and we drop them.
Right, right.
Are you going to sing another song?
Sure.
Yeah. What do you want to sing?
We're going to sing a song that neither of us wrote. Speaking of kind of country singers, a great country singer, Marty Robbins, wrote this song. It's called At the End of a Long, Lonely Day.
At the end of a long, lonely day without you, when the world seems to fall in my face, I'm all right through the day, but the day fades away, and the long, lonely night takes its place. Another day to wish that you I dread each lonely night that's filled with tears. Oh, I've tried, but these are tears that I can't hide. At the end of a long, lonely day, at the end of the day, I go up to my room and I watch while the sun fades away. it makes no difference if I live or die. With the world locked outside, I just hang my head and cry. At the end of a long, lonely day, at the end of a long, lonely day.
Lucy Wainwright Roach and Loudon Wainwright the Third singing a Marty Robbins song. So many country songs lend themselves to that kind of close harmony. In fact, duets are kind of a basic part of country music. Is it the songs themselves, or is it just that there's a certain kind of a harmony that's developed in that genre over the years?
I don't know. I mean, I guess harmony singing is certainly part of the tradition of that kind of country music. I first heard that as when I was in the 60s at the Greenbrier Boys, which was a great part of that folk revival of the early 60s, John Harold and Ralph Rinsler, and I think the banjo player was Bob Yellen. They had a recording of that. They did it much quicker than that, you know, at the end of a long. But I always was struck.
There's something plaintive about that.
The writing is so good, you know. I mean, the world seems to fall in my face is a pretty great line.
And that song is, we've come to do it through a very traditional path, because I learned it from my mom and my dad singing it.
Suzy and I used to do
I
that
the
song.
Part. So it's very sort of old-timey, pass-down-the-song sort of thing.
One of the things that must have been odd, Lucy, is growing up with a father who wrote songs about personal things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it always was the case to be seeing my parents on stage and to be hearing the songs in that way. So I've never known it any differently, but there are probably quite a few things I feel that I know about one parent or the other that they said in a song that they maybe never said to me.
Where have you lived most of your life?
In New York.
I was in Brooklyn,
raised,
right?
I was raised actually in Greenwich Village right near, right on Downing Street.
And now you're going to be going on tour?
Now I've been on tour for the past 3 months, and we're going to Australia. And
you're
going to
do a show with Rufus at the end of the month.
Oh, I'm
right?
Doing 8 shows with Rufus at the end of the month and the beginning of the new year.
Is it as comfortable? Do the harmonies fall into place just as easily?
Yeah, it's a different. Everybody's show is a different culture. Rufus's show is a different culture than Dad's show or Mom's show or whatever. But we sing together too, and it works, and we have a fun time. So it's. In a way, our family spends a lot of time together, although it's working time. But it's
quality time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, are you going to follow your father into TV and movie acting?
Well, gosh, I don't know.
Loudon, you've done some TV acting recently, a couple of movies. Is that something that you'd ever imagined you'd be doing? How did you fall into that?
Well, I studied to be an actor, actually. I thought I was going to... I went to Carnegie. It was called Carnegie Tech in the late 60s in Pittsburgh. It's now Carnegie Mellon. And I went to drama school with, Albert Brooks and Michael McKean and Steve Bochco. We were all there at the same time. And then I kind of fell into music more than... And wound up doing that. But I occasionally dabble in the dark art of acting.
Well, you're in two hit films from Judd Apatow,
yeah,
40-year-old Virgin and Knocked Up.
Yeah, I have small parts in those movies, and actually, I did the music for Knocked Up. Myself and another songwriter called Joe Henry did all the music for that movie. So, Judd Apatow is a great guy to be working with these days.
And you're going to go on tour. Where are you going from here? After this big celebration on Sunday,
right? Our next gigs together are going to be in New Zealand and Australia at the end of February. And Lucy's doing these shows with Rufus in December and January.
Well, maybe we should go out with something from this CD, a track called "Bridge." Reminder that Lucy Wainwright Roach will be celebrating her birthday this coming Sunday night at 9:30 at Joe's Pub with special guests that include Loudon Wainwright, her father, also Martha Plimpton and David Rakoff. For more information, you can visit our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Here we are, two across a river, having given all we have got. Tie a ribbon into a knot, anywhere to go from this corner. And the wind allowance on the bridges makes the bravest the one to cross. You may have gambled things a little just to meet me in the middle and lost. And I want to tell you, go for it anyway. And I want to tell you, reach out your hand. And I want to tell you, you can make it all.
As I said, you can find out all the details about Sunday night's performance at 9:30 at Joe's Pub by going to our show page at WNYC.org.